During this segment, we're going to talk about how to be a great mentee. How do you do that? How do you be a great mentee? Well, let me share a little bit about from my life of what I did growing up, and then I will try to tie that up a little bit and give you some more information and things to consider. So how do you be a great mentee? When I was about 12 years old, I approached somebody who was a little older that had a business that I liked, lawn care. And I asked them how they did it. What did they do? And I just listened to what they had to say. And I learned that if I would do what they did consistently, then ultimately I would have a similar result to what they had. What time went on and I became in martial arts. I asked somebody who was really advanced, what do? How do you practice? How do you stretch? And then I began to do exactly what they did. Then I would ask them for more information. When I went into real estate, I found somebody who had done a lot of real estate development, and I asked them questions. What did you do? How did you do it? What makes you different? How do you add value? And I listened and I took copious notes. And when I took notes, I studied them and I tried to apply it. And I would ask these people, could I visit with you again? When I started my career on Wall Street, did the same thing. There were 30 men who I interviewed my first 3 months on Wall Street. And I would call them to see if I could visit with them. Sometimes I would say, this time I'm driving, can I drive to the airport? What can I do to get 20 minutes of your time, 30 minutes of your time? Sometimes they weren't interested. So I would just try to pursue to see what I could do to get some of their time to talk to them, to listen, and to make notes. So one of the greatest things you must focus on and to be a good mentee is you must have a desire to learn. You also must have you must be genuinely humble. So you must have a desire to learn, you must be humble, and what goes hand in hand with that is you must be teachable. And when someone gives you advice or counsel, you must be appreciative. And you must show that appreciation by thanking them, by writing thank you notes, whatever it takes to let them know to communicate that. So first and foremost is, are you teachable? Do you have a desire to learn? And I would say, I would ask the people around you. Ask people around you, are you teachable? If you're not currently teachable, repent. Work toward being teachable. Ask those around you, are you humble? If you're not humble, repent and work toward being humble. Patient. Are you a patient person? Are you able to persevere through difficult times? Once you're in with a relationship with a mentor and you ask them questions and they give you time, do you take the information and seek to apply it? There's nothing more flattering to a mentor than giving advice to somebody, having them take this advice, and then having them apply this advice. And even if you don't do it perfectly, and you won't, it's okay, come back to the mentor and say, hey, I tried this, and I had a different result than I was expecting. It didn't go like I expected. Could you help me maybe evaluate my process and what I'm doing, things that I could do to improve and get a result like you had? And ask him, what would you do differently? Realize when your mentor's giving you time, be diligent. Always have a notepad with you. Always make notes and always ask questions. This will go so far in impressing the mentor. Are you eager? If you're in an organization or you're with somebody or you're going to be co-laboring with your mentor, be early. Get there before the mentor gets there. Show appreciation. Just little things, like if your mentor likes coffee, show up early with a cup of coffee. But be there early. Be persistent. And I once heard somebody say, I always get there a little earlier and I leave a little later. And you'll find that leaders are like that. They go the extra mile. They're humble and they're grateful. Are you reflective? If you spend time with your mentor, do you take time and go back and read the notes? Are you a student? Do you learn from your own failures? I have a journal that I keep, and it has prayer requests in it. Another part of the journal has activities that I've done. And I'll make note of failures that I've made and things that have gone well. And I do what's called failure analysis. Every time I experience a failure, I seek to learn what I could do differently next time. Do you do failure analysis, or do you try to excuse failures like they didn't happen? Embrace it. If you were to look at a baseball player, even the greatest hitters strike out 2/3 of the time. What are you trying to learn from your mistakes? Integrity. There is nothing more critical than integrity. And you show integrity through consistency, through being unwavering in your morality, unwavering in your word, and doing what you say when you say you will do it, and being honest and transparent. Are you transparent with your mentor? Do you receive advice? So oftentimes, it's easy to receive advice or hear advice, and here it is criticism. And here it is a way of like, you're just doing it wrong, or hear it that you're a failure. That's not it. Hear criticism. Be grateful for it. Even if it's delivered in a way that you would rather it not be delivered, there's almost always a kernel of truth there. Try to get to that and see what you can do to improve. Be long-term minded as a mentee. Are you long-term minded? You know, when you're in a role as a mentee, it only lasts so long. What are you doing to take the greatest advantage of it? Are you thinking 5, 10, 20 years out? Ask your mentor, what would you do differently, knowing what you now know? How did you set goals? How did you set 1-year, 3-year, 5-year, 10-year, 20-year goals? Did you do that? And if they did, great. If they didn't, it's okay to ask for, who do you know who I should talk to about some of these things? What would you do differently? Be eager, and you will find that your mentor, if you're genuinely eager, if you're listening, if you're making notes, they will be energized by your curiosity. They'll be energized by your desire to learn. There's nothing more exciting for someone who's had success in life to see a young person want to do the same thing. So often, mentors make comments like, people today, they're not teachable. People today, they're not hungry. People today, they have a sense of entitlement. People today, they want to go on vacation and have leisure and play games and all the time. They want to be on Facebook. They're all about self-indulgence. There's no deferred gratification today. And you think of the people from the greatest generation. These people went to World War II. They came back and they worked. How are they different than we are today? How do you spend your time? What do you do? How much time are you spending in God's Word? How much time are you spending talking to people you could learn things from? Or are you spending your time with people who are just your age, asking their advice? Or are you asking advice from those who have been there before, who maybe have done things, even made mistakes, but there's a great amount to learn from that? How do you spend your time? Because you realize you're young one time. Are you investing your time in a way that is both God-honoring and that is productive? Because we are to take dominion. We are to be diligent. We are is to do our work as unto the Lord. And what could be more efficient than learning from someone who's done it before and asking them and asking them questions? Do you seek to give back to your mentor? Now, you can't give a compensation. You can't give something, but do you give us of a service? Do you even just give a regular gratitude or recognition that this person is doing something for you? Sometimes that's just all it takes is, hey, thank you for going out of your way. Thank you for helping me. I know you don't have to do that. Thank you. What's oftentimes I've heard, I've talked to mentors, is their own children may not be grateful. Their own children may not be curious about what they did. And you are, and that's something that's unique and they will appreciate. Are you aware of what your mentor likes? Something very simple I did as a young man, the mentor that I was talking to liked to collect stamps. So when I was out of town, I picked up a stamp from another place and gave it to them. And you would have thought I'd given them some huge gift. It was just an awareness or an appreciation of what they're doing. How do you add value? Do you try to help them in their endeavor? Do you try to labor for them without expecting recompense? Are you long-term minded? You can't do that if you're short-term minded. You can only do that if you're long-term minded. I actually know of a man who wanted to be a mentee, and he worked for a mentor, and said, I want to work for you for free. I'll give you a year. Could you teach me your business? Could you teach me how to do things? Could I talk to you about my failures and my successes? Could you make recommendations to me? And the person's like, sure. Well, at the end of the year, he was prepared to leave and to go start his own business. But the mentor said, I've trained you. You've learned everything that I wanted you to learn. I want you to take my business and run it, and we'll be partners. So things can happen that you don't expect. But this mentee did not have that expectation. He did not have a sense of entitlement. He did not have, he was teachable and he was humble, and that's what causes someone to want to spend more time with you. And do you wear yourself out? Do you spend yourself fully? Are you living with zeal and with great vigor? Are you able to say, I'm going to bed exhausted, I'm tired, I've exerted myself fully today, I've learned fully today? Are you a make it happen kind of person when you work for the mentor? Are you the kind of person that they can give an assignment to and they know it's going to get done? As being a business owner for a number of years, there are people in my organization that if there's something that I need to get done right the first time, I'll go to this set of people. If it's something that's not as important and it have a little more time, I'll go to another set of people. Who are you? Are you the person who is diligent, who seeks to get it done correctly the first time? Are you detail-oriented, and do you ask questions? These are all very important things to have a successful relationship with your mentor. And you're adding value by doing that. Being a good listener adds value. But more than listening, it's doing. Sometimes you'll meet people that are just great listeners, but after a while you think they're in space. They're just listening, but they're not doing anything. This may be the best listener I've ever seen, but he's the worst doer I've ever seen. So are you just a listener, like just glued on him listening but doing nothing? Or can you be a great listener and a good doer? But how are you do? How can you become a doer? How can you do what you hear? Maybe to this point, you've just been a listener in school, a listener to your parents, a listener to friends, but you've never made the step from listening to application to doing. So the key, I mean, the core is planning, and it's thinking. You must plan and you must think. The greatest and the highest paying job anyone has is thinking. Do you take time to think and to plan? So after you've had your time with a mentor, after you've made a list, you've written everything down, the greatest next step is thinking and planning. So how do you do that? What you want to do is review your notes. I always try to break my things I'm going to work down into problems or objectives. So I'll say, what's my greatest problem I'm facing? So let's say that you're trying to help your mentor, or you're trying to get sales, or you're trying to do something. I always write my problem as a question. So let's just do an example. How can I get 3 more clients? Or another way, how can I get 3 more mentors? Whatever it happens to be, it's how can I write it as a question. Then what I do is I seek to answer this question in a very thorough way. And the next time, this next step at first may take you 1 or 2 hours the first couple times you do it. And then after you do it, it gets faster and faster and faster. And this is going to seem like overkill, But I write it as a question, and then I come up with 21 solutions. 21 ways to answer this question. Then after doing that, then I pick the very best solution to my question, the very best solution as I see it today to my problem. And then the very next thing I do is I break it into steps. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe five steps. And then I do that immediately. Also, each day, you must prioritize. You're going to have many things to do every day. Could be drop a sibling off somewhere. Could be drop off dry cleaning. Could be have lunch with a friend. Could be work on a very important task. Could be, who knows, read a book. Make plans. So what you must do is prioritize everything that you're doing into a real simple system, A, B, and C. You have an A task, a B task, and C task. And I write all of my tasks down on one sheet of paper in no particular order. Then I put an A by the ones that are really important. These are important, and they have impact, and they're urgent. The second task is important. That's a B. But you know, it may not be as that urgent. Maybe it could wait 3 or 4 or 5 days. It's important, but it's not urgent. Number A is important and urgent. B is important, not urgent. And C is often like kind of nice to do. Like maybe it's nice to wash the car. But the tendency that we all have is to do the C's first because we like to check things off. We got it done. But if you live a life and you're only doing the C's, you'll wake up and have not made much progress. And then once you've identified the A's, 3 A's, 4 A's, B's and C's, you number them. A1, A2, A3, then the B's the same way and the C's the same way. The most critical thing to your success will be your ability to focus single-mindedly on the most important task at the time. I'll give you an example. If you have laundry to do, books to organize, a paper to write, and your house is on fire, and you say, boy, house is on fire is probably important, but I'm really close to getting this paper done. I'm going to finish that. That was a really bad decision. You need to put the fire out first. So do the most important thing first and don't become distracted until it's complete. Then go on to the next thing and the next thing. And then the next day you reprioritize. Same process. What's your biggest problem? Write it as a question. Go find 21 answers to it. Pick the most important, the most relevant, the one that would work the best. Do that first, and then prioritize your days in A, B, C, 1 through 7. When you do that, and then share this with your mentor, here's how I'm organizing my day. Here's how I'm trying to be effective. Do you have any suggestions? What can I do different? And sometimes you may not know what's the most important thing, and that's a great place to be. You can spend time with your mentor and say, yeah, I just don't know what I should do next. But I have these 7 or 8 things. Can you help me? Who's going to say no to that? They're going to love to help you. And then come back the next day and say, here's what I've gotten done. How did I do? Did I do a good job? And listen to what they say. And then ask them, hey, is it okay if I come back to you and you help me think through prioritizing and doing things where you evaluate my work and tell me how I can do a better job? And really listen, really be hungry for advice, be hungry for improvement, and hear suggestions and constructive criticism in a way that it's intended to make you better, not as a way to cause you to be sullen or depressed. These are ways that will cause a mentor and draw them out to want to help you, to spend time with you, and to help you see your objectives. In closing, let's go over 3 important things to think about for your mentor. Number one, think about their legacy. Think about how you can help them. Think of how you can do so without an expectation of a quid pro quo or getting something back. You'll be surprised. People will want to help you. They'll want to go out of their way for you. But do not have that expectation. Number two is value. Adding value. Add value by not just being a listener only, but a doer. Be an excellent listener, but be an excellent doer. That will add more value to your mentor and continue to draw them out, continue to have them want to help you. And third and finally, you must prioritize your decisions. You must prioritize your process. You must be a planner and break things down into steps. What's your biggest problem you're facing? Break it down into 21 potential solutions. Pick the number one solution. Do that wholeheartedly, immediately, and then prioritize your day in ABCs and have a number, 1 through 7, 1 through 3, whatever it happens to be, and stick to it. And remember, don't do a B or a C until you've completed all the A's. Because I've got news for you. You're never going to have a day where you get everything done. But if you have a day, I have many days, I only get one thing checked off. But if it's A1, that's great. That day was a success. But if I skip the C's, I don't feel the same way. So again, think about legacy, think about adding value, and think about prioritization and planning. I hope this has been a helpful session for you. Thank you.